Imagine waking up one day to discover that the very institution created to protect your rights has become their greatest threat. This isn't dystopian fiction. It's the central premise of Judge Andrew P. Napolitano's provocative work. As both a former judge and constitutional scholar, Napolitano confronts us with an uncomfortable truth. Our government routinely violates the natural rights that form the foundation of American liberty. This isn't just academic theory. It's happening in courtrooms and legislative chambers across America right now. The book's premise challenges both liberal and conservative orthodoxies by asserting that our fundamental rights exist completely independent of government recognition. When the state attempts to restrict these natural rights, it becomes not a protector, but an oppressor. Our fundamental rights don't originate from government. They exist naturally as part of our humanity. This natural law tradition, championed by thinkers from Thomas Aquinas to Thomas Jefferson, holds that certain self-evident truths transcend human legislation. Just as gravity operates regardless of congressional approval, our natural rights to life, liberty, and property exist independent of government recognition. This perspective directly challenges positivism, the dangerous philosophy that law is whatever the government says it is. Under positivism, rights become mere privileges granted by the state, revocable whenever convenient. This framework has justified history's greatest atrocities by claiming legal legitimacy despite moral bankruptcy. The American Revolution was fundamentally a philosophical rebellion against government-granted rights. As John Adams observed, the revolution occurred first in the minds and hearts of colonists who recognized their natural rights were being violated. John Locke provided the intellectual framework, describing humans as naturally free, equal beings governed by natural law, possessing inherent rights to their bodies, actions, and property. Government's sole purpose was protecting these pre-existing rights through consent. Thomas Paine's Common Sense transformed these principles into revolutionary action, arguing individuals should govern their personal lives while electing representatives only for collective matters. The Declaration of Independence codified these ideas, asserting all men are created equal in fundamental rights, not ability or wealth. Our unalienable rights stem from our humanity, not government authority. Though America has often contradicted these principles by extending state control over personal decisions. Property rights are foundational to all liberties. Without the right to own and control resources, other freedoms exist only in theory. American history reveals a steady transformation of property ownership from natural right to revocable privilege. Cases like the seizure of Henry Weinstein's Brooklyn building and Columbia University's Harlem expansion illustrate government's disregard for property rights. The Supreme Court's Kelo decision formalized this trend by permitting private property seizure for commercial development, though Justice O'Connor warned this meant any property could be taken for private gain. Excessive regulations further threaten ownership rights. California homebuilders face 20 hearings and $600,000 in costs for a single house. Economist Richard Epstein argues that regulations like minimum wage laws amount to partial takings by diminishing property value without compensation. Federal authority expanded dramatically with Wickard v. Filburn when the court ruled that even personal wheat cultivation fell under the Interstate Commerce Clause, effectively extending Congress's reach to nearly all economic activity. Freedom of speech is our most fundamental expressive right, the ability to voice opinions without government interference. The founders protected dissenting views as a pre-existing natural right. This right faces restrictions only when directly violating others' natural rights, which rarely occurs since speech seldom causes direct harm. As Chomsky noted, if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. The Westboro Baptist Church case exemplifies this. Though their military funeral protests were widely condemned, the Supreme Court upheld their speech rights, recognizing emotional distress doesn't justify censorship. government continues attempting to restrict speech through measures like the Miller obscenity test, the Patriot Act's national security letters, and laws criminalizing material support to foreign terrorist organizations, all violations of natural law principles. Self-defense is a fundamental natural right that enables individuals to protect themselves against both criminals and tyrannical governments. The right to bear arms prevents government monopoly on force. History shows the dangers of disarmament. The Nazis' disarmament of Jews enabled Kristallnacht's destruction of Jewish businesses and synagogues without resistance, while the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising later demonstrated the effectiveness of armed resistance. Federal restrictions began with the 1934 National Firearms Act, imposing a $200 tax on shotgun registration, 30 times the weapon's cost. Statistics support gun ownership's deterrent effect. Of 300 million privately owned firearms in America, less than 2% of handguns are used in crimes. Home invasions with residents present occur in nearly 50% of cases in strict gun control countries versus 13% in America. The Supreme Court's Heller decision recognized bearing arms as an individual right, though it still permitted various restrictions despite the Second Amendment's shall not be infringed clause. The most fundamental natural right is ownership of one's own body. Yet government claims authority over our personal health choices, from diet to medication. Government overreach into dietary choices has become extreme, with cities like New York and San Francisco banning specific foods and drinks on public property. These arbitrary policies prevent individuals from making informed decisions about their own health. The 1984 National Organ Transplant Act's ban on organ compensation has created a deadly shortage, with over 85,000 Americans awaiting kidney transplants and 13 dying daily. Iran solved its shortage through financial incentives. Economists suggest similar compensation, $25,000 to $50,000 per donor, would clear waiting lists while saving taxpayer money. Drug prohibition illustrates failed policy. Despite trillion-dollar spending and 2.3 million incarcerations since Nixon's 1970 war on drugs, substances remain widely available. Before 1914, no drugs were illegal in America, and marijuana prohibition began in 1937, largely due to business interests opposing hemp competition. Since government derives its powers from the consent of the governed, we retain the right to withhold that consent. When the state assaults freedom without accountability, we must follow the colonists' example, alter or abolish systems that violate our natural rights. Jefferson's Declaration of Independence affirmed that when government becomes destructive of natural rights, people can alter or abolish it. While cautioning against revolution for light causes, he declared that persistent despotism makes resistance not just a right, but a duty. We must expose governmental injustice through peaceful civil disobedience. As Thoreau noted, inaction enables injustice, while Dr. King declared, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Today's government operates by force rather than reason, restricting liberty for safety and using fear for control. Yet Americans are awakening. States reject unconstitutional federal commands, police resist unjust orders, and citizens see through false security promises. The choice is clear: reclaim natural rights or surrender freedoms for illusory safety. The spirit of 1776 reminds us that government exists to protect pre-existing rights. When it fails this purpose, resistance becomes our duty.